What up, family? How y'all feeling? Yeah. Come on, I know we into the fast, but how y'all feeling? Yeah. Listen, I need to know in the comments right now, what are you believing God most for in these 21 days? Like, what is the one thing that God has put in your spirit, the one thing that he's laid on your heart, the one area you want to see him move most? What is the thing that you're hoping in? What is the thing you're believing him to do? Just drop that in the comments, because you don't know who needs that encouragement today. You don't know who needs that testimony today. You don't know who needs that accountability today. And I want us, as we comment that one thing we're believing God for, I want us to pull up on each other. Oh, yeah. I want us to pull up on each other. I want us to be a community of accountability. And I'll talk about that later in the year, but I want accountability to be a word for us this year. I want it to be one of the things that we focus on, because though we're dispersed and though we're spread apart and though we're in a pandemic, that still doesn't mean we can't check on each other. Yes. That still doesn't mean we can't believe God for each other. Amen. That still doesn't mean we can't lift each other up. Somebody say amen in the house. Amen. And so I want us to do that today. So just drop in the comment what you believe in God for in this fast. And here's what I'm believing God for. Jesus says that there's certain things in our lives that only change through fasting, help me, and prayer. I believe that one thing in your life that you're believing God to change will only change by doing the things you're doing right now, by dedicating yourself to him in a fast that is consecrated to him and in prayer that is seeking his counsel. As you do those things well, I believe that there's things that's going to shift. I don't just believe it because I have faith in it. I believe it because he said it. He said things would change. Atmospheres would shift. Breakthroughs would come if we would fast and pray. Amen? Amen. So with that being said, I'm also super excited to be kicking off our new sermon series this week. Actually, our first sermon series of the new year. Somebody give God praise for that. Yeah. Yeah, so as we learned in our vision sermon for 2020, we're in a year of, oh my gosh, where are y'all? I said we're in a year of,
why?
I'm about to say, why y'all not speaking louder? What happened? We're in a year of why? And we're in a year of why because 2020 beat us down with anxiety, worry, and fear. And as God began to reveal to me what he wanted to do in us this year, he began to show me that in order for us to be aligned with our why in light of the drama and trauma of 2020, he's going to have to reload some things to clack in our lives. That God is going to have to reload certain things that we lost in the midst of the battles that we fought last year. That God is going to have to reload some disciplines and reload some inner stuff and reload some heart stuff. And so I'm excited today because we're entering a series that we're going to be spend a couple of weeks as a church in a series called TGH Reloaded. TGH Reloaded. Okay, I'm reloaded. We in TGH. Reloaded. See, God wants to upgrade some things in your life this year. But as you know, whenever you get ready for an upgrade, you have to first get a download. The download comes before the upgrade. And God has sent me to tell somebody that in order for you to upgrade in this year of why, you must first go down. This sermon series is all about the down. It's all about the download that God is about to send to our church as he prepares us for the upgrade of our why. So if you can, please stand with me for the scripture reading, because I'm excited about the word God has given me today. Today I'm in Philippians 1, verses 19 through 21. It's a very special passage to me, and I'm excited to be able to preach it to you on this year of our Lord. The Bible says, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." Somebody needs to underline that in their Bible right now. What has happened to you? I don't know what that is, but it's going to turn out for your deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Bow me as we see God's face. Father God, what a powerful passage. This passage preaches itself. Father, it is our eager expectation and hope that we will in no way be ashamed, but with sufficient courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in our body, whether by life or by death. And Father, it is our hope, not just in this fast, but in this year of why, that we will live with the mindset that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Lord, that is a truth that if we press into it today, if we lean into that today, if we build our lives on that foundation, God, there is nothing that hell can throw at us that can destroy us. We will have an indestructible hope. But God, if we're honest today, we come broken, beaten down, fearful, anxious, worried, unsure, doubting, wondering how you're going to do it, wondering if you're going to do it, wondering if you even care. And God, the reality is we need a reload of our hope. And so, God, today I am privileged to be able to download into your people a reload of hope. But, God, I know that in order for that to be successful, you got to get this gospel man out the way. So I just pray now in the spirit of the living God that the words of my lips and the meditations of my hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh, God, our strength and our redeemer. Oh, be with that said.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated at home. Amen. Now, it's been uttered many times in our culture that hope is not a strategy. It's come up in different ways at different times, but it's a common cultural colloquialism that hope is not a strategy. That when you go through something, you can't just throw hope at it. I mean, when you're in a real crisis, a real jam, when stuff really hit the fan, that you can't just throw hope at your problem and expect it to go away. You got to throw some kind of strategy at your situation. You can't just hope that money shows up while the bills pile up. You can't just hope that your marriage will magically get better after years of neglecting it. You can't just hope that you'll succeed in some areas of life that you haven't prepared for. You can't just hope that you'll be more patient or a better parent. You have to make a plan and you have to execute it. Now, what I'm about to say to you may shock you, but I couldn't disagree with that statement more. Now, if you're talking about hope as wishful thinking, we're on the same page as a paragraph. I'm with you. Hope isn't wishful thinking, and you can't just throw wishful thinking at life's issues expecting them to go away.
Yeah.
But the idea that hope isn't a strategy is simply silly. Mm. I need you to write this down. Hope is your greatest strategy in a world full of uncertainty. Hope is the only thing keeping us alive. The moment a person loses hope, they lose their will to live. I love how Pastor Darius Daniels defines hope. He says, hope is untamed optimism and expectation. I like that. What does that mean? It means that regardless of what a person is going through, a person with genuine, true gospel hope is a person that refuses to allow anything that's happening on the outside to change how they feel on the inside. And let me help somebody under the sound of my voice. If you don't think that's a hope, if you don't think that's a strategy, you crazy as Solange in the elevator. Respectfully. Hope is one of the only things. It is one of the only things that life circumstances can't take from you. Do you understand today that you can lose possessions and bounce back? You can lose people and persevere. But the moment you lose hope, my God, I said the moment you lose hope, somebody has lost hope listening to me today. But the moment you lose hope, you lose everything else. This is why this word is so important for your life today. God has revealed to me that the one thing that 2020 has attacked more than anything else is our hope. I believe that many of us have left 2020 not just with heartbreak. I believe we've left 2020 with hope break. Now, where do you go when your hope breaks? See, you can break my arm, but I can't let you break my hope. You can break my confidence, but I can't let you break my hope. You can break my relationships, but I can't let you break my hope. You can break my career, but I can't let you break my hope. You can break my heart, but I can't let you break my hope. There is nothing you should fight the devil with more ferocity over than your hope. Some of you are fighting the devil over things not worth fighting for. Things beneath your hope. You're fighting the devil over how people perceive you. That ain't worth fighting for. Fighting the devil over your reputation. That ain't worth fighting for. They killed Jesus. His reputation wasn't good. That is not something worth fighting for. You need to be fighting the devil over your hope. Oh my God, I feel like I'm ministering to somebody right now. Some of you need to fight the devil over the greatest thing, over the thing that will keep you fighting for everything else, your hope. See, there is nothing more valuable to you than your hope. And that's why somebody listening to me needs to fix their hope. Your hope broke last year. You don't even know it. Your hope is broken right now, and you don't even know it. You are trying to solve it with temporary fixes, and you're trying to solve it with lesser thinking. But the real need that you have is you need to fix your hope, which is why God told me that the first download we need of 2020 is a hope download. Mm-hmm. Who's ready for that? Mm-hmm. Point number one, hope needs help. Hope needs help. Now, today's passage is special to me in so many ways. It's not just special because it's saturated with the power of God. It's not just special because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not just special because it is infallible and it is the counsel of the Holy One. It's not just special to me because it's Philippians and it's in the Bible. It's special to me because before I was Pastor K, long before I was preaching about a crucified criminal from the dirt roads of Nazareth, before I was preaching about a Jesus that they murdered who was from the projects in Israel, before I was turned from a hell raiser into a heaven praiser, I was led by God to this piece of literature in the life of the Apostle Paul. And this scripture right here astounded me. It literally changed my life. It was so impactful to me that the moment that I read it, I distinctly remember being stuck in place. I couldn't move. And I don't even journal, but I had to grab a piece of paper, write it down, and memorize it. This verse changed my life. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to me about it, he spoke more to me about it than what meets the eye. And he spoke to me some of the things that I want to give you in this text, because when you zoom into this moment, what you see is a time in the life of the Apostle Paul marked by pain. A time very similar to the season we find ourselves in as the people of God. We see a person who was once an abuser become the abused, but we also see a person who's currently incarcerated and isolated. We see a person quarantined from the things and people he loves most. And we see a person who has this external battle going on around him all against his will. He didn't pray for it. He didn't ask for it. And yet he's in it. And on top of that, he has envious people trying to capitalize on this crisis. You ever gone through something and then your haters start showing up? Oh, yeah. Paul says a couple of verses before this that there are people who are showing up who are preaching Christ out of envy. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that you could preach Christ out of envy? Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that you could say the right things and have the wrong heart? Oh my God. Who would have thought that your hands could look good but your heart could look bad? Who would have thought that someone could use Jesus, weaponize Jesus? I'm talking to somebody who's had Jesus weaponized against you. I'm talking to somebody who's tried to weaponize Jesus against others. Paul says they preach Christ out of envy, but guess what? Guess what he says? He says, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if what they're saying about me while they preach the gospel is hurting me while I'm incarcerated. He says, because at the end of the day, Christ is being preached. Woo! You talk about maturity. You talk about hope. You talk about gospel elevation. You talk about a mindset beyond your obstacles. This man said, whether you're preaching Christ to hurt me or you're preaching Christ to help me, it don't matter because Christ is being preached. Somebody needs to let go of the things that don't matter. It doesn't matter. It's God getting glory. If God is using that thing to get glory out of your life, then you need to praise him for it. Because God is getting the glory. And so now Paul says that despite all of the things that's broken in his life, the thing that we need to see today is his hope, is it? In verse 19, he says, I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus, what has happened to me, underline that in your Bible, will turn out for my deliverance. Paul says, I know a couple of things. I have a couple of things that actually help me keep my hope. These things actually help me not lose hope in the midst of the hurt that I'm going through. Paul says, my conditions are hopeless, but my heart isn't. My outer man is bound, but my inner man is free. My body is suffering, but my spirit is soaring. But how does Paul achieve such perspective in the midst of such pain? How does hopelessness not take him down a path of doubt and despair? Well, he tells us right here in this passage, he says his hope had help. Says his hope had help. He says, I know that through your prayers and the Holy Spirit, everything I'm going through is going to turn out for my good. I know this because my hope has help. Boy, I had two things. Two things that you're going to need today if you're going to keep your hope. Two things I need you to write down and meditate and pray over in this fast. The first thing Paul had was horizontal help. Write that down. Horizontal help. Say that with me. Horizontal help. Paul says, my hope is still intact because you, church, people of God, saints of the Most High God, family of Christ, like church, because you, the church in Philippi, the church that he's writing to, have been praying for me. My question to you is, who's praying for you? Who do you have in your life that's holding you accountable, that's encouraging you, and that is lifting you up before God? See, in this year of why, it's time to unplug. Somebody say unplug. Unplug. It's time to unplug from powerless relationships. You ever plug into something and expected power and got nothing back? Does that kill you? I mean, it is nothing more irritating to me than to take a device that I really need to not die and plug it into something and get nothing back. But let me tell you, your hope is something you really need to not die. And so many of us have taken that hope and plugged it into some people in some places and have gotten nothing but problems and pain back. And despite that truth, we've refused to unplug from them. Despite the fact that we've plugged into them for far too long and we've plugged into some stuff that ain't giving us no power back, we stay plugged into it because we're too afraid of the alternative. I believe that so many of us are hopeless right now. So many of us have a hope break right now because we're mainly afraid to unplug from the places we've plugged into that do not feed our hope. This is the year to stop looking for help from people that every time the phone rings, got something negative to say. This is the year to stop looking for help from people who know how to find you when they're in trouble, but can't be found. Where they at though, when you in trouble? This is the year to stop looking for help from people who make you feel worse. I mean, just make you feel terrible. Make you feel like you're not a good son, you're not a good daughter, you're not a good husband, you're not a good wife, you're not a good boyfriend, you're not a good girlfriend, you're not a good parent, you're not a good father, you're not a good mother, every time they talk to you. Somebody repeat after me. Just I need you to repeat all of this after me. Just all of it. If you're not, encouraging me, I'm unplugging. If you're not investing in me, I'm unplugging. If you don't believe in me, I'm unplugging. If you don't value me, I'm unplugging. If you can't be faithful to me, I'm unplugging. Somebody say unplug. Somebody say unplug. Somebody tap somebody and say unplug. Somebody text somebody and say unplug. I know we quarantined and you ain't got nobody in your house next to you, probably. You got your cat. Somebody just high five your cat and say unplug. Somebody just say unplug. See, Paul was unplugged from the toxic people around him. You can't expect to keep your hope and be plugged into toxicity. Just toxicness. Toxic thinking, toxic people, toxic places. You at a job you know you ain't have no purpose in forever. God been told you to leave, you still there. Toxic. In a relationship the Lord told you prophetically to end a long time ago. Toxic. Got people close to you that you make excuses for every time somebody points out the flaw in their character and you still won't unplug for them. Toxic. And you want to keep your hope. Do you understand that the longer you stay plugged into something that doesn't have power, your hope continues to deplete? Your hope is like the battery of your cell phone. If you don't charge it, it will die. Somebody needs to unplug in this year of why. I actually really want you to pray about this during this fast. I have a question for you that I want you to pray about. If the people you plug into most aren't praying for you, challenging you, encouraging you, fighting for you, and pushing for you to be better, why are they in your life? Why are they in your life? You cannot control what people do, but you can control who you allow to do it to you. Hope needs help. Hope needs help. And maybe your hope is broken because the people closer to you like it that way. Maybe they like you better broke. Maybe they like you better sad. Maybe they like you better depressed. Maybe they like you better single. Maybe they like you better angry. Maybe they like you better depressed. Maybe they like you better hopeless. Maybe they like you better that way. And if that's the type of person you plugged into, it's time to unplug today. Second thing Paul had, if you're going to have hope today, he had a vertical hope. He had a horizontal help. He had the right relationships, but he had vertical hope. Somebody say vertical hope. Paul had a keen awareness of the Holy Spirit's role in his current condition. Do you? Do you have a keen awareness of where God is located? Not where your problems are located, not where your needs are located, not where your doubts are located, not where your lack is located, but do you have a clear understanding of where God is located? See, oftentimes we struggle to find hope, keep hope, and fight for hope because we're more focused on where our situation is at rather than where the Holy Spirit is at. Paul knew that his Lord was above his location. Do you know today that your Lord is above your location? That God is above wherever you are? Do you know today that God is sovereign? He is sovereign over that need in your life. Do you know today that God is in control of what you're not? See, we only lose hope when we forget where it comes from. This is why the psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from who? From the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If your hope is going to be reloaded, if you're going to get everything you believe in God for, not just out of this fast, but out of this why year, then you're going to need the right people in your life. But you're going to need to know more than anything else where your hope comes from, where your help comes from. You're going to always have to be reminded where the Lord is located. He is called the great I am, not I was or not I will be. He is called I am because he's eternally present. He's called I am because he's always in the midst. He is called I am because he's always there. You need to find Jesus in your situation. You need to find God in that worry. You need to find the Savior in that storm. You need vertical hope. That leads me to my second point. Expectation plus courage equals hope. Family, hope has a simple formula. It's very simple. My 3-year-old son can understand the formula for hope. Hope's formula isn't like college algebra, thank God. Because I failed that 5 times. The Lord knew what he was doing when he gave us the formula for hope. The formula for hope isn't rooted in geometry or trigonometry. It's rooted in theology. Somebody say bars. And Paul gives us the formula right here in this text. He says, I eagerly expect and hope. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul says that expectation plus courage equals hope. If you're going to reload your hope today, if you're going to renew your fight today, if you're going to keep what God has put inside you today, then you are going to have to first understand that hope is not a feeling. It's not wishful thinking that life will get better. It's not pie in the sky in the by and by. Hope is not even optimism. Bloop. Some of y'all are like, oh, I'm optimistic. That don't mean you got hope. Hope is not optimism. Optimism is fine. It's great. I'd rather you be optimistic than pessimistic. But whether you're optimistic or pessimistic, you can still have hope. Somebody say this with me. Hope is expectation. Hope is not optimism. It's not pessimism. Hope is
expectation.
Hope is expectation in God that transcends practical obstacles. Biblical hope says things like this. Though he slay me. I said, though he slay me, y'all. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. It says things like, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Biblical hope reminds you that he who began a good work in you. Boy, I can run through this place right now, y'all. Y'all lucky my J's ain't laced up. He who began a good work in you will see it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That is why biblical hope ain't optimism. Stop walking around telling people I'm optimistic, thinking that that's biblical hope. You be optimistic all you want. Optimism is not hope. Optimism is based on what you can do. Hope is based on what he can. Optimism is based on what I can do to make this better. Hope is based on what he's already done. That's why you can be hopeful even when you're not optimistic. Because hope is looking reality in the face and saying, I know something you don't know.
Yes.
Y'all remember that game we used to play that as kids? Y'all remember that as kids? Y'all remember that? I know something you don't know. I know something you don't know. And you're a little bad behind. You hiding stuff. You right? You like, oh, that's my man now. But you don't know that. I know something you don't know. That's my girl. We were just playing footsies under the desk at school. I know something you don't know. Well, somebody needs to tell the devil, I know something you don't know. Somebody needs to tell depression, I know something you don't know. Somebody needs to tell doubt, I know something you don't know. Somebody needs to tell debt, I know something that you don't know. Because as Christians, what we know is our light and momentary affliction is working for us an eternal weight of glory that far outseeds them all. That's what I know. I know something you don't know. My God, somebody's spirit man is getting filled right now. I feel your hope getting filled right now. Somebody needs this right now. Listen to me. As long as Jesus is still Lord, the cross is still real, and the tomb is still empty, I don't care what you're going through. I'm not sounding indifferent because I'm your pastor and I love you, and I believe I've proven that over my years of pastoring you. I don't even have to justify that statement. But I don't care what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. What you're going through? What is it? Depression or disease? What is it? What is it? Debt or doubt? What is it? What is it? What is it? You just got dumped or you just got divorced? Is your kidney failing or is your kid's wallet? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're going through because all things. See, you didn't hear me. See, you didn't hear me. Your hope is still in 2020. You're still trying to find your hope in 2020. I'm in 2021. I said all things. I said all things. I said all things work together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Somebody tell the devil, I know something you don't know. You sent this to destroy me, but God is using it to develop me. God is using it to deliver me. God used the very weapons used against Jesus to deliver the world. The very cross meant to kill Jesus became the stage that God used to make Jesus the Savior. Oh my God, you missing me. I said, God will use whatever Satan is trying to throw at you to work it together for good because we know something that he don't know. I know how the story ends. I know my Redeemer lives. I don't know what you know today. I don't know what you believe today, but I tell you what I know. I know that he who began a good work in me will see it to completion in Christ Jesus. I know that his plans for me are greater than my plans. I know that his ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts. I know that eye has not seen and ear has not heard what he has in store for those who love him. That's what I know. Somebody needs to tell your situation what you know. Because what you know is more important than what you see. But there's another thing that Paul has here that is important before I go to my last point. Paul also has courage. Now, I don't want to talk about courage for too long. He has expectancy, yes. Like I said, he knows something that his doubt and his situation doesn't know. But he also has courage. And courage is what I'm going to dig into a little bit next week. So I hope y'all are excited about that because God is going to reload some courage in us. But the thing about courage I want to say this week is courage is hope's first cousin. Courage is the ingredient that makes hope possible. If you don't have courage, you can't have hope. That's why Paul says that I not only expect God to do it, but I have courage to trust him through it. You see, you can have expectation, but if you don't have the courage to see it through. See, that's the same thing that's happening in this fast right now. You can start something, but do you have the courage to see it through? You can unplug from something. You can say, oh, Pastor K told me to unplug. You know what? I'm breaking up. I'm dead in this. I'm ending this. I'm leaving this. I'm walking away from this. I'm doing this. And then halfway through, you lose heart because you don't have the courage to see it through. Courage is hope's first cousin. And somebody needs their courage renewed. You need to have courage to trust him through it. Because even if this means death, Paul says, he says, I know how the story ends. That key phrase there, whether by life or by death, means I'm trusting God through it all. My hope is sustained through it all. That little statement, whether by death or life, means whether God sets me free or sets me free, he still sets me free. Oh, you missed that. Hold up. Let me rewind now. Let me bring now, flip it and reverse it. He said, whether you set me free, whether God sets me free, or he doesn't set me free, he still sets me free. He says, whether by life or by death, he will be exalted in me. What he's saying is, whether God physically does it or spiritually does it, God will still do it. Whether he does it in this life or whether he does it in the next life, I will be free indeed. Somebody needs to understand today that hope doesn't just focus on this life. If hope was based only on this life, you can't keep it. Because your life is a vapor. You're going to lose hope every time you lose somebody. You're going to lose hope every time you lose help. You're going to lose hope every time you lose a loved one. You're going to lose hope every time you lose some money, lose a job, lose a relationship. Hope isn't based in this life. So whether he does it now, or he does it now, or he doesn't do it now, he still does it. He still does it. That's gospel hope. When you live with that mindset, you're unbreakable. Mm-hmm. Nothing can break you. Right. Cancer can't break you. COVID can't break you. Yeah. Pandemics can't break you. Shutdowns can't break you. Divorces can't break you. Breakups can't break you. Getting dumped can't break you. Getting hurt can't break you. Losing a limb can't break you. Nothing can break you. You're unbreakable. You can literally lose anything in life and still know that there's a life after this, that God is going to give it all back. Oh my God, you got to understand. Oh, if you can get this in your spirit today. I got to go to my third point because I'll be here all day. Third point, hope lives with the end in mind. Hope lives with the end in mind. Paul is headed towards an execution, but he's still hopeful. You think your situation is bad. Paul is writing one of the final letters of his life. These are the final moments of his life. He is headed towards execution. His head will be cut off. That's how Paul's going to die. That's how his story ends. And yet he's hopeful. How, Sway? Well, it's because he lived with the end in mind. At the end of the day, Paul was hopeful because despite the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, his hope wasn't in a position or a place. It was in a person. He says, and I need you to hear this. I need you to get the sugar daddies out your ear and stop texting right now. He says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Don't miss the power of that statement because of the simplicity of it. The most powerful things are the simplest things. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The way to rob the devil of every ounce of influence he wants to have in your life, the way to rob him of every square inch of power he wants to wield in your life, is living every day to make this verse the truth that you build your life on. See, if my mentality is something other than to live as Christ and to die as gain, then my hope is always one crisis away from collapsing. Always. If my mentality is to live is to succeed, then to die is to fail. That's why so many of us living with a success-driven mindset, the moment we fail, we're ready to jump off a bridge because you've already died. You lost the thing you were living for, so life doesn't feel worth living. If my why is to live is to be happy, then to die is to be unfulfilled. And that's why the moment that many of us get unhappy, we're ready to jump off a bridge because I've already died. I've lost the thing that I was living for right now. Therefore, I'm already dead spiritually. And then some of us are wondering why we can't keep our hope. Some of us are wondering why we can't hold on to hope. Why hope just seems to slip through our fingers. Why we get encouraged by a sermon that you hear on a Sunday or by a word somebody gives you, and then slip right back into depression, right back into despair, right back into despondency. And I'm not saying that you don't need to go see a mental health physician, get medication. You know, we're a church that believes in all that. Amen in Jesus' name. Amen. What I am saying is that there's a spiritual need that's equally as important as the mental need. The spiritual need is you need to renew and reload
your hope. You need to replace your hope. You need to remove your hope. You need to relocate your hope. See, we start off strong, and then somewhere along the way, we tend to lose heart. We start off confident, and then somewhere along the way, we get discouraged. Well, it's because we're not living with the end in mind. If you're living your life your way, if you're living your life doing the things that only you want to do, if you're living the life not heeding what God has called you to, then your hope will always be fragile. Your hope will always be fragile. Hope, by definition, needs something beyond itself that can't take it away. If you don't have that, you're just optimistic. And there's nothing wrong with being optimistic. You just don't have power. See, true hope needs to rest in something that has the power. Somebody say power.
Power.
The power to sustain it. The only way a boat can stay in position is through an anchor. Now, I'm no boatologist. I just made that up. I'm no shipologist, but I studied for this sermon, all right? Leave me alone, okay? I ain't a boatologist, but what I know is that an anchor is what keeps a boat in position. And the reason why the anchor is able to keep the boat in position is because the anchor is able to get beneath the surface of whatever the boat is in and connect to something substantial enough to hold it there. Well, just like every ship needs an anchor, every soul needs an anchor. Just like every ship needs something that can get beneath the dirt and debris of its situation and wedge it into something that can sustain it, your soul needs something that can get underneath the dirt and debris of your life, underneath the surface you live on every day, underneath the likes, the follows, the retweets, the blocks, the train rides and the Uber rides, that something beneath the brunches and the dates, something beneath all of the things that we live for that are just lower than God's why for us. You need something in your soul to anchor you. Your soul needs an anchor that can connect you to something substantial. It needs an anchor that gets beneath the surface that we live on to grab hold and to keep you from sinking. And the only anchor that can truly hold you in place, his name is Jesus. He's the only one who's gone beyond the heavens so that you can ascend to them. He's the only one that's gone beyond the curtain so that the veil could be torn and you could get eternal access to the living God forever. He's the only one to go beyond death, the thing we fear most, and beat it like it owes him money. He is our forerunner. He's our high priest. He is our living hope, which is why only Jesus, somebody say only Jesus, only Jesus can hold your hope. Only Jesus can hold your purpose in place. Only Jesus can hold your peace in place. Only Jesus can hold your hope in place. If you make Jesus the anchor of your soul today, I can't promise you that life's problems will go away. They might get worse. I mean, I wish we could have time to get into a little Bible study on Paul, because Paul's life got worse in the immediate time after he found Jesus. I can't promise you that your external situation will get better, but I will promise you that you will never lose hope. I will promise you that no matter what life throws at you, your hope will be solid as a rock. I will promise you that your hope will be sustained, that your fight will be strong, that your why will be clear, that your identity will be solidified, and that you will never have to wonder whether you have worth, value, or purpose again. I will promise you that Jesus will satisfy your heart's deepest longings, your soul's deepest thirst, and the things that you need most out of life. And that's the beauty of Christianity. See, the beauty of Christianity is that our ultimate hope rests in an ultimate person, which means it can never be taken from us. Our hope is not found in this life. It's found in the one who conquered it. And that's why the Bible says, as we get ready to close, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Into a living hope. Somebody say, I have a living hope. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Because Jesus is alive, your hope is alive. Because Jesus beat death, your hope will beat death. Because Jesus has eternal power, your hope will have eternal power. Make Jesus your hope today.
Today's the day to trade your dead hope for a living hope. This fast is the time to trade your dead hope for a living hope. This year of why is the time to trade your dead hope for a living hope. This is not the time for rah-rahs and blabbing grabbits and naming and claimants and manifesting. And this is not the time for that. That stuff is beneath your hope. This is the time to trade a dead hope. Whatever thing you thought was valuable or important, it's not. This is the time to trade that thing for Jesus. This is time to get a living hope in our spirit. And then once we get a living hope in our spirit, we'll be able to look at anything life throws at us. And we'll be able to say with full assurance, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. We'll have a hope built on such a strong foundation that we can say with the Apostle Paul, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but with sufficient courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether it is by life or by death. Because for me to live is Christ. It's nothing else. And to die is gain. Bow with me in prayer. Father God, I thank you for a living hope. I thank you that in Jesus we don't have to wonder where our help or our hope comes from. That all we need is to relocate it. That all we need is to take it off of the things that can't sustain it, the stuff that can't power it, and to plug it into our source. Jesus, forgive us. Have mercy on us. Thank you for keeping us even when we haven't held tight to you. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you that every single Sunday we gather together, we don't gather to hear the songs that we love or to get a word for our lives. We don't gather for those things first. We gather to have our hope renewed because you are our hope. Father, I pray that you will fix our hope today. I pray that you will heal our hope break today. I pray that we will hold on to hope today and watch hope hold on to us. Do what only you can do. And get glorified as you do it. We thank you in advance. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll see you next week, family.